Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are getting an update from Metalla Royalty and Streaming, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol MTA, also on the NYSE under that same symbol, MTA. I am chatting with the President and CEO, Brent Heath. Now we will be getting an update, an asset update on a couple key news releases from some of the assets that the company holds in their royalty portfolio, as well as more of a big picture growth outlook. But first, Brett, I want to start by just addressing the general market here. There, clearly 2021 was a tough year for resource stocks, especially precious metals stocks. But that's even as, say, the gold price moved largely sideways, right around 1800. It was just, there seemed to be a loss of sentiment towards some of the stocks. And that's why we continued to see a wide range of resource stocks drift lower on generally lower volume. I want to get your assessment of the market, though, because Metalla is out there, I know, constantly negotiating deals, looking for new royalty deals, and you guys have large institutional holdings, so you are in close contact with some of the larger institutions that are investing in the sector. What's your takeaway from where this sector stands right now when it comes to the stocks?
Well, Corey, the biggest takeaway is inflation is really the driving force. Now, gold's performance in 2021 was, I would have to say, a bit of a head scratcher. But when we look at a basket of other commodities, and we have nat gas up 81%, oil 66%, agricultural commodities up 24%, rents across the U.S. up 13%, used car prices up 44%, gasoline up 36%. Cattle up 20, lumber up 15, coffee up 92, hotel prices up 37. So, just some huge, huge increases in numbers in things that people use every day. You look at the CPI print that we had recently, just a couple of days ago, and we got 7.5%. Now, that doesn't come anywhere near what the reality is for a lot of the things that people use every day. But my suspicion is that gold is going to move when rates increase. And that's actually counterintuitive to what is typically the narrative out there. You know, a lot of the talking heads out there will always talk to rates going up is bad for gold. But the reality is, I mean, even if we take the government numbers at 7.5%, and the Fed goes and raises its 25 basis points, its 50 basis points, even 100 basis points, these rates are going to be highly, highly negative for the foreseeable future. And I think it's going to take the actual increase in rates, which is also going to increase the cost of the debt, which just recently reached $30 trillion. And that's just in the U.S., not including, obviously, all the other Western governments that have debt to GDPs relative to the U.S. So I think when the Fed starts raising rates, you're going to see gold break out. Maybe gold breaks out slightly before that. But from what we're hearing right now from the Fed's guidance is that we're likely going to get multiple rate hikes this year. And I think gold is setting up for a fantastic year. In regards to the gold equities in the sector in general, investor sentiment remains pretty poor. A lot of the big resource-based institutions are running very low on cash. I mean, they've been consistently getting, you know, redemptions here and there. And really, it's at a time where, I mean, I've never seen a better risk-reward investment opportunity in one of the best commodities you can own in these types of environments, which is gold and silver. I mean, you're looking at all these other commodities from coffee to lumber to gasoline. These things are up double digits, sometimes even close to triple digits. And so I think we're really going to see a move in gold if the Fed goes and raises rates this year. And I think that's coming up here pretty shortly. So it remains to be the ultimate contrarian trade right now. But I can't find anything else better to put my own personal money in. And so, I mean, I've been a buyer myself in Metalla.
So, Brett, one other thing I want to quickly talk to you about is the environment here where we see it's been almost across the board, resource or gold stocks correct, but the better stocks and the better assets, those companies still have money and they have their head down doing work. So when it comes to the environment of getting deals done out there, which I know Mattel is always working on deals, always looking for new deals, new royalties to bring into the company, what's the environment like for getting new deals done right now? Are companies getting desperate to finance? Are they still cashed up? What's your assessment of this?
Well, I would say that from the traditional perspective of being a capital provider, which is the core business model for the large cap and mid cap royalties, that is becoming a little bit more difficult, because what we see today with these high copper prices, these high nickel prices, and so forth, is the big diversified producers, they're making tons of money right now. And the major gold companies, I mean, this is the best their balance sheets have been in the last two decades. Now, inflation is actually really starting to eat into those margins. So that's kind of another story for the gold sector. But the traditional model of being a capital provider is really kind of forcing the bigger companies down into smaller deals or financing more of the junior and mid-tier mining type companies. But for Metalla, you know, we've stuck to our very core strategy of buying royalties in the secondary market. So these are royalties that already exist, and this, you know, allows us to go out and not only pick up royalties with very, very significant operators on proven geological trends, but it also, you know, allows us to do that with a small amount of capital, because we're not buying the royalty from the big mining company. We're buying it from a third party that owns the asset or owns the royalty on the asset that we want to get exposure to. So for us, you know, we've had a great business. Last year was a record year, and we still have a ton to work on. There's still a lot of great deals out there for Metalla, and we're looking forward to this year to continue on.
All right, let's get into some of the asset updates. The first one from the Côté Gosselin royalty. This is run by I Am Gold. There were some drill results. 10 holes released on January 24th. Just to remind everybody, Metalla holds a 1.35% NSR royalty on a portion of the Côté deposit and all of the Gosselin zone. Give us an update here, please, Brett.
Yes, these drill results were absolutely phenomenal. So the last time we spoke, we had an update right after I Am Gold updated their initial resource, which was over 5 million ounces on Gosselin. So this is just Gosselin, which our royalty covers all of Gosselin and part of the Côté Gold deposit. And since then, they released an additional 10 holes. So these 10 holes did not make it in the initial resource report that I Am Gold put out in the fall or in Q4 of last year. And they recently just put this out about a couple of weeks ago. And we saw some intersections, just truly incredible intersections up here. 355 meters of just under gram per ton gold, with a 100 meter intersection within at 1.5 grams per ton. We saw 256 meters at 2 grams per ton, 375 meters at 0.55 grams per ton, 173 meters at 0.7 grams per ton, and many, many more. I mean, these types of drill results are really incredible. And each one, given, you know, how the depth, not the depths in as far as how deep they are, but the length of these intercepts, adds tons of ounces as they continue to step out and infill between the Côté and the Gosselin pit. So all this is pointing towards Gosselin being significantly bigger. And, you know, we're already at 5 million ounces, not including the drill results that I just mentioned. You know, I think these drill results will materially take that number higher. And they continue to drill. And they've also only drilled at half of the depth of the Côté deposit. So there's just a ton of exploration upside. This asset continues to grow, and our royalty here, the 1.35% that covers it, I think is continuing to point to being a potential cornerstone asset in the company going forward. But we're very excited about it.
Now, do you know if I Am Gold has any general outlook on when they could start construction here? I realize there's still a lot of exploration to do, but are they looking at starting to build this thing anytime soon?
Yes, they actually are building it, and they're about a third of the way through as of right now. The first production on Côté, which our royalty does cover a portion of the Côté pit, starts in the second half of 2023, according to IAMGOLD's guidance. So we think that they'll be ramping up towards the end of 2023, 2024. Our suspicion is that Gosselin will be incorporated into the mine plan probably 2026, 2027. And we think likely it'll end up being one big pit, just given the nature of the success that they've had on the drilling in between the two. That whole area in between the two looks like and continues to look like it's going to be mineralized as they infill and step out on the drilling there. So, you know, we're talking about an asset that is going to be one of the largest mines in Canada. It's truly going to end up being a crown jewel. So very excited to have exposure to it.
Absolutely. Let's talk about another update from the Tocantinzinho property. This is controlled by G Mining Ventures. And boy, oh boy, I've been hearing a lot about G Mining Ventures. They've even been recommended on our show a couple of weeks ago because of how good of operators this company is. And they're really not that well known of a company. But again, back to Tocantinzinho, the flagship over at G Mining. They released a feasibility update, I believe just earlier this week. What can you give us in terms of information on this update and the feasibility study?
Yeah, so Corey, let me give you a little bit of background. We picked this royalty up on Tocantinzinho last year, and this asset essentially was collecting dust on the bottom of Eldorado Gold's asset base for the better part of a decade. And we always liked the asset, but it wasn't really doing anything until about last year when we started to hear there were a lot of bigger operators, very experienced operators looking at the asset. So we did have a suspicion that it was going to move to a new owner. And that's when we wanted to go out and acquire our 0.75% royalty. And so after we acquired this royalty, G Mining, as you noted, were the successful bidders on this asset. Now, the group behind G Mining, as you noted as well, is very unknown. They're not very big on the marketing side, but this is the group that the major mining companies hire to build their difficult mines, and they've done several of these successfully in South America on time and budget. That's extremely difficult to do. So, I mean, it truly is one of the most experienced developers, although it is, you know, a smaller market cap company. These guys have access to capital. They know what they're doing. They've done it several times, and you couldn't ask for a better operator team to be in charge. And so when they took control of this asset from Eldorado, they wanted to obviously go through and update their own feasibility study using their own internal metrics and plan going forward, as they want to put this thing in production. And so we just got some just pretty incredible numbers out here with a 10.5 year mine life, average production of 175,000 ounces at an all-in sustaining cash cost of $681. Year one through five, it's going to produce just under 200,000 ounces a year. There was a 12% increase in mineral reserves to 2 million ounces of gold. So again, 2 million ounces of gold. There's not very many of these things. And there's significant exploration upside even beyond that. Again, that's 2 million ounces of reserves that are included in the mine plan. So we're really excited that they came out with this. G Mining is targeting 2024, 2025 production. And they continue to execute, and we continue to think that they will make the most of not only this deposit, but the surrounding area with the exploration upside. So another great development asset in our portfolio going forward.
Yeah, everything that I've heard about the team at G Mining Ventures is that they are very good mine builders, and having that target production 2024, early 2025, coming out of the gate too with almost 200,000 ounces of production in the first 5 years each year. That's a fairly impressive. That is a very impressive production portfolio. That ties in then with the final question I want to ask you, and that deals with a big picture growth outlook for the company. I know it's hard short term to predict just how many deals are going to get done or how quickly assets will move through, but can you give us a big picture outlook, maybe not just even for this year, but as we progress over the next couple years and the growth that Metallic could see?
Yeah, so Corey, we've had a very, very specific strategy since we started this company, and we always bought royalties where we saw the most value. And the most value, as we kind of looked across the sector, were these royalties that were in development that were being advanced by these major mining companies, you know, most of which had a very significant amount of organic kind of growth that they needed to go through in order to make it to production. Now, it was important that we had these big companies advancing it because obviously you get a bear market, a junior can't raise money and so forth. These big companies, they're funding everything through cash flow. They've got huge available amounts of capital on their balance sheets and credit facilities, and they know how to build mines. And so these are the types of assets that we focused on. Now, because we were focusing on a lot of these development assets, we didn't grow our immediate cash flow, you know, as fast as maybe some of the other companies. But what we're seeing right now is really the company at, you know, what I believe is at an inflection point because, you know, currently we've got five producing assets today. We're gonna have two more come online this year. That's El Realito, which is part of the La India mine that Agnico Eagle operates down in Mexico, the Beaufor mine, which is Monarch Mining in Quebec. And over the next 5 years, we're going to see the Côté mine come on, the Wasamac mine come on, Santa Gertrudis, Tocantinzinho, Castle Mountain, Fosterville, 15 Mile Stream, Amalgamated Kirkland, Endeavour, La Fortuna. These are very, very significant assets. I mean, Castle's Equinox Gold, the production profile on that is stated to be about 220,000 ounces of gold a year. Tocantinzinho, we just spoke about that. Santa Gertrudis is Agnico Eagle. That's one of their premier development assets in Mexico. It's already at about 2.5 or so million ounces in resources there. And we think it'll have a production profile probably in the kind of mid 100,000 ounce range. Wasamac, this is a development asset in Quebec that Yamana has already stated that they're going to advance and build. This asset as well, 200,000 ounce production profile for 15 years. Côté is stated at over a 500,000 ounce production profile. Amalgamated Kirkland, which is really an asset that we weren't expecting it to be in production until in the 2030s, is looking like it'll be in production in the next couple of years. And this was a function of the Agnico and the Kirkland Lake merger, because this asset or this deposit is only a couple hundred meters away from the development side of Macassa. And now that Kirkland Lake and Agnico are merging, they're looking to include that into the mine plan. I think we'll see production on that in the next couple of years. So these are very, very significant assets, again, being advanced by these major mining companies with very long life, very significant production profiles, all in their own right. And the majority, or pretty much all of the ones I just spoke to, are all going to be coming online within the next 5 years, starting next year through 2026. So very, very exciting time to be a Metalla shareholder. And all of that growth is built in. That's the best part of it. And we've got a whole nother slate of assets that we think will come online in years 5 to 10. So, I mean, I think as a Metalla shareholder going forward, even with just the assets that we own today, you're going to see a different mine come into production, or you're going to see that we have a royalty on a different, very significant asset that will come in production, being advanced by these major companies every single year, sometimes two every single year for the next decade. It's a pretty incredible growth profile. We're just starting to highlight it now as these things are becoming front and center. We've had our heads down for the last 5.5 years, consolidating all these great assets, and now it's time for these things to really show what they're worth, and they're doing that right now. So yeah, it's a great time to be a Metalla shareholder. Last year, this is really the opportunity. Last year, we increased our NAV per share by 23% for the whole entire company. So what that means is the net asset value on a per share basis increased by 23%. So that means that the assets that we bought, the value that those assets were worth more than what we paid for, increased the value of the entire company by 23% in 12 months. Very, very, very significant. At the same time, we saw our share price decrease, over 40%. Now, that was a big correction, but I can also point to, we've had in the last 5.5 years, 6 years since we started the company, we've had three corrections or consolidations, if you will, of 30% or more in our share price. And each one was met with a kind of 1 to 2, sometimes up to 300% increase in the following 12 to 18 months. This has obviously been the biggest. You can buy our company, just slightly above where it was trading almost 2 years ago. And if you look at the last 2 years and the acquisitions that we bought, I mean, the company is dramatically, the whole profile of the company is dramatically different. And the assets that we've bought are very significant. So we think it's just a spectacular time to get in here. And, like I said before, this is what I'm doing with my own money.
All right. Well, Brett, thank you very much for that update. I will post a link below this interview to the company's corporate presentation. That's where you can check out all the royalties that they hold and get a little bit more information on some of these ones that it sounds like are just getting closer and closer to production. And in the next 5 years, just outside of any deals, there is a pretty defined growth outlook for the company. Brett, I really appreciate this update. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. We're happy to dive into any of the royalties or any of the market comments that you would like to hear more of from Brett. And hey, Brett, we'll follow up as the company releases some more news and asset updates. Appreciate the update today, Brett. Hope you have a great weekend.
Thanks. You too, Corey.